And here we are, everybody. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, and good?
Yeah, everything's good.
The sound is actually working? That's a plus.
Yes.
Nice. It's the first time that's happened. Welcome, everybody, to the first not-so-new edition of the Green Legion Radio Show. My name's Quimby. I'm going to be your host along with my distinguished panel of guests that are also in the room. I'll introduce everybody first. To my right, happily back for 2 weeks in a row now. That's a little odd, right? Ooh. We didn't quite expect that to be the case, did we?
No, we didn't.
No, not at all. Mr. Diaz?
What's up? Back.
My something sounds a little weird with my.
You sound a little funky.
Yeah, I know what's going on.
Son of a bitch! Don't worry, I got awkward. This, everybody. I got this.
Diaz. Quimby's always replacing batteries.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
There it is. First one. Diaz, tell them about yourself. Tell them about your sports knowledge.
My sports knowledge is unmatched. It's unrivaled.
Let the jokes
That's
begin.
That's why I'm here.
Jokes begin.
Well, it's just standard knowledge in the city of Philadelphia that my takes are the strongest, backed up in fact, with no emotion whatsoever. And I do listen to everyone else's opinion. I just happen to always agree with myself.
That's pretty solid. I think that's what everybody does.
Yeah, I mean, when you're right, you know?
Yeah, if that helps you sleep easy.
When you have a new battery, you're even better.
Awesome.
Yay, back. All right, first blunder of the day. Not so bad. To his right, and now in charge permanently of Green Legion and Green Legion Radio Security, that would be our good friend Rex Conroy, back from 4 months out to sea. 4 months with nothing but dudes.
Oh, God. I didn't know that.
You have a microphone. You know that.
There was at least one lesbian on board, though.
He said he worked for 97 straight days.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
That's what happens when you're on a boat to Thailand.
That in a room that's going like this, that's shifting back and forth.
You know we talked to him, right?
Wait, we're getting off track. This is there. He is first reel back. Hollis reel back one today.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Rex, we went out last night. We got you fucking abominated. That was great.
It was a good time.
I didn't know that you could drink that much Jameson and still stand. That was impressive. But, brother, welcome back, man. I have missed you terribly.
I missed you too, buddy.
Yeah, man. Glad you're here.
You're not aware of this. There's a whole new like softy Quimby going on. It's strange. It's hard to deal with.
Diaz, go fuck yourself. Hollis. Right to his right. Number 78 in your program, number one in your heart, 15-year NFL veteran with the Rams, Panthers, Saints, and 10 years with our own Philadelphia Eagles. Mr. Hollis Cool Motherfucker Thomas.
Hell yeah.
There's the creepy I want to go to high school voice we were looking for.
I had to bring it back. I'm happy to be here, and I'm surprised that my buddy Diaz showed up for a second week in a row,
right? Hell, we're doing well.
We must be doing something right.
Always a pleasure, my friend, and you were part of watching Rex destroy himself last night.
That was
fun.
It was epic.
That was great. And in our corner, on a permanent timeout now,
I'm liking this timeout.
You have the best view in the house.
That's right.
Yeah. Everybody, Pops Thomas is with us. That would be Symandric, in case you didn't know. And if you want to know how to spell it, I guarantee you I'd fuck it up still after writing it down 42,000 times. But we just call him Pops. Pops is now in charge of our Facebook Live. And every show he's going to have the camera either pointing at our lovely young lady from Delilah's, who we're going to introduce in just a second, or the rest of the panel. Don't worry, when he points it to the rest of the panel, it won't be long. It'll go back. If you have any questions for the panel, this is the forum in which you ask. Just go to our Facebook Live page, or go to our Facebook page, and you'll see the live link on right now. Ask your questions. Pops will interrupt us whenever we're talking, if there's something worthwhile. Whoever actually makes Pops smile the most today will win a pair of tailgate passes to any Green Legion home tailgate this football season. Ooh. And that will be consistent for the rest of the year. Every single Wednesday night, we will be giving away a tailgate pass for two to any home tailgate the Green Legion runs at our good friends at Xfinity Live, which met with last week. Everything is perfect, on par, and exactly the way we want, and we are very happy to have the relationship that we have with them. And finally, and definitely not least, Everybody, she doesn't have a, she does have a microphone if she wants to talk. I don't think she wants to right now. She's shaking her head. You can see that. Everybody from Delilah's, right here, 100 Spring Garden Street. We have the beautiful Jasmine, and if you aren't looking at her right now, you have problems. Because honestly, you are an asset to Delilah's. 100%, baby. 100%. That is German, black, and Puerto Rican. Brazilian. Mm. Just in case you wanted to know the mix you're looking for, that would be Brazilian, black, and German, everyone. All right, let's get through our sponsors here real quick, and then we're going to start this show. Everybody, show is brought to you by our good friends at Miller Lite. Once again, they will be our sponsor for the year. Looking forward, as always, to consuming more Miller Lite than I need to. If you are not drinking beer, you are drinking our other excellent sponsor right here in Fishtown, Stateside Vodka. Yes, that is premium vodka distilled right here in the Fishtown section of Philadelphia. They actually have their own bar. It is an excellent place to go. It is a nice hipster premium, yeah, premium hipster bar.
Yeah,
that's kind of what
they're
I would
good
call
people
it.
There, but I mean, I don't. I, what, you know, it just seems you seem a little out of place over there.
I would.
Yeah.
I don't have enough long hair. Or, yeah. I don't eat top ramen.
Yeah.
Well, I do, but not three times a day.
Nah.
Our good friend J.P. Lutz over at Bucks County Baseball Company. You can go to their website, buckscountybaseballco.com. The website is bigger than the store. Our good friend Mike McVeigh over at David Dodge Chrysler Jeep. Anytime you guys are looking for a new vehicle, especially a Jeep, go over, talk to Mike, walk in, talking sports, walk out, spending $40,000 for a new Jeep. It's an amazing feat. Also, all of our good friends, Ken Hutchings, Pat Pavelchek, and the rest of our friends at all the Cavanaugh's restaurants. River Deck, which is now open again. We could go over there at any point in time now after shows. Also, our good friends at Cavs Head House, which is right off of 2nd and South. Our good friends at Cavs Rittenhouse, which is between 18th and 19th Street on Sansom. And, of course, where Diaz and I went to college, our good friends at the University City, Cavanaugh's 39th and Sansom. Go check out our friend Brian Pavelchek up there. He is excellent people. And still happy to be able to go there whenever we can. Now we switch over to Manioc. We got our good friends Bourbon Blue, the Bayou, and Cactus. These are 20-year sponsors of the Green Legion and great friends of the program. If you guys are in Manioc or want to get to Manioc, go to one of those three places or go to all three of those places. They're all within 150 feet of each other. And, of course, the Manioc Sport and Social Club, the most social intramural sports leagues in Philadelphia, of course, last but not least, and not actually last this time because we're adding somebody, our good friend Ken Davies at City Fitness, Philadelphia, all locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly Fishtown, Logan Square, and Market East, and our new best friend, thanks to Hollis,
no doubt,
our good friend Jari Evans at Somo Sophie, that's Somo in South Philly. And Hollis, thank you. And Jari, thank you for those beautiful, sweet tickets for Sunday's Sixers game. We do appreciate that. Hollis, big dog.
Yes, sir.
Let's get on with this show, brother.
Oh, cool.
One of our coming to be one of our favorite segments because we didn't know that you were such a history buff or that you knew how to use Google. What happened today in history?
Today is May the 8th. It's the 128th day of the year. There's 237 days left. We're going to start back in...
We didn't know he knew math either.
You're going to start back in 1912 when all of us love movies. That's when Paramount Pictures first formed.
Okay.
Then we go to 1976. Are you a roller coaster buff?
Hell yeah.
Well, this is the day. This day in 1976, Six Flags on Magic Mountain was the very first steel vertical loop-de-loop roller coaster.
Really?
It's called the Roller Coaster Revolution.
Really?
Yeah, 1976.
My favorite roller coaster for the longest time was the Great American Scream Machine.
Oh God, this is
Great America.
Great America.
Did you ever go on Batman? Oh God,
I think I have. Oh God,
My stomach is still in one of the seats of Batman. So today I picked a couple of birthdays out. I saw what you had on the checklist.
Yeah,
obviously Ronnie Lott, one of the best
Ronnie
safeties
Lott,
known to man.
Best safety, born in 1959 today.
Yep, and one of my favorite comedians, he's passed away today. 1926 is Don Rickles' birthday.
All right. Well, suit. We don't talk about boxing or MMA much on this show. I don't think we have. Well, Hollis, I know you're a fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of both of those.
If you ever ever want to start talking about that, let us know. I don't know anything about it. But for a boxing fan, Sonny Liston was born in 1932.
Yep.
What's that?
We got to get that drop.
What's that?
I don't know anything.
No. You don't know anything?
Anytime. Anytime. And here's an interesting twist in Major League Baseball history that has a Philadelphia tie to it. The first legal Sunday baseball game was played in 1919 in New York City, where the Philadelphia Athletics beat the New York Giants 4-3.
Yep. It was illegal to, work on Sundays back then.
Yep. Yep. 100%. Now, more fun Phillies facts, because right now, you know, unless obviously we'll have some Flyers, which you know how much we like to talk about the Flyers on this show. We'll have some Sixers, but only a little bit. Mostly, you know, baseball is in full stride right now. Some great Phillies facts from today and the last couple days, and these are great. Grover Cleveland Alexander pitched the first of a 90 career shutouts in 1911. Yesterday in Phillies history, in 2010, we're trying to keep it up to date, keep it real. Mr. Jamie Moyer tossed a two-hit shutout against the Braves, becoming the oldest player in Major League Baseball history to record a shutout at 47 years old. Phil Negro actually held the record up until him at age 46.
Right.
That's awesome.
And an even cooler tie, because it brings it all together right now. 2 days ago, I forget what year it was, but it was Bryce Harper's rookie year. Cole Hamels admittedly and intentionally plucked Bryce Harper right in the back in his eighth game ever. At the end of the game, Cole Hamels said, "Yeah, I tried to hit him."
I aimed at him. Yeah.
So Bryce Harper, once again, welcome to Philadelphia, baby. All right, let's start talking sports, because I know we're all chomping at the bit to get to some Sixers talking.
Oh yeah, yeah, I can't wait, can't wait, Q.
I know. Well, first, what have the Philadelphia Flyers management done to make their fans happy this week? Nothing. On to the Sixers. That closes our Flyers segment for the week. All right, man, we're on the precipice here.
Oh, God.
The proverbial cliff, man. It's do or die. You've got two of them in a row now as well. And you know, you and I were at the game on Sunday, Hollis.
Yep.
And we're gonna open this forum up, you know, completely. Diaz, I definitely want a lot of what you have to say. Pops, definitely want you in on this, too. But, man, the ball just didn't seem to roll.
Right.
When that first half, when they were playing towards our end.
Right.
Just so many balls were rolling around that rim and not fucking dropping. And you just had a bad feeling as if this wasn't going to be their night. And yet, with 2 minutes to go, it was down to a two-point game.
Yeah.
And that... I don't know if you want to call that a Brett Brown. I don't know if you want to call that the planets not aligning in a certain way. But let's talk about that first.
Which part?
Brett Brown.
Yeah, Brett Brown.
Brett Brown.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I hate talking about Brett Brown because honestly, like, and I don't know who said it. I've seen it written, but in the NBA, it seems that there's two or three great coaches, three or four terrible coaches, and everyone else is kind of in the middle.
Right.
It always comes down to the players. Now, Brett Brown has to put him in position to win. I hate the line. which is a little bit more so in football than in basketball. You know, football, you get a play call and you run that play, and that's what you do. You know your job.
Yeah, right.
And it's similar in basketball, but there's no headset and calling in a play.
French. But you're an asshole.
There's no headset. Like, you know, you call a play. Something happens. Things happen, right? Someone slips. They're out of position. Right. You gotta improvise and make it up on your own. So long story short, with Brett Brown, I don't think Brett Brown's a great coach.
Why are you saying long story short? I don't think
he's great, but I just don't know if there's anyone better. And the one thing that we haven't had with this team is continuity. All over the place, right. Front office, the players. Mm-hmm. We keep switching it up when things aren't working after 25 games. I'm willing to give Brett Brown another year.
Mm-mm. You know, the only reason I don't want to give him another year is because you're right in who you're going to find better. You got to start holding these players accountable. For the turnovers and stuff, that's BS. You have to hold them accountable. And if they don't respect you, the first time he cussed was at one game? Are you kidding me?
Against Brooklyn,
are you kidding me? The onus is on the coach to get the best out of them. That's like you said. There's no X's and O's really in basketball. They run set plays and stuff, but
what do they have?
Five guys. Well,
a little more than that.
Do we need Samuel Jackson to run down the court and yell Delilah?
How about that for the tie-in?
Come on.
But when the dust settles, I don't think they respect him. As I say, and why is Jimmy Butler telling Ben Simmons what he needs to do, and it's not coming from the coach? That's supposed to come from the coach, that's the only part I have with him. He's a great coach as far as like being a teacher, but as far as like being the head man and it demanding the best out of your players,
I want to make sure that that's the reason, right? Before, like, if Ben Simmons isn't going to shoot, you know, right. Is that Brett Brown or is that, mm-hmm, Ben Simmons or some combo of both?
Right.
I just want to eliminate the other possibilities because it's always, you know, a week ago, Friday or Thursday,
right?
Everyone's like, we got the biggest opportunity of everything. We might finish this in five games. And how quickly things switched because the players,
right,
were throwing the ball all over, right, the place. Now, he could go don't throw the ball all over the place. But at some point, the players got to know not to throw the ball all over the place.
Exactly. But let me play devil's advocate here. What do you think the coach is there to make sure that everybody is accountable for their job? If we put it this way, all of us, we're all going to be assholes at times and jerks. And you know, that's where the players, that's where the coach is supposed to rein us back in and hold us accountable for what we're there to do. And I know he doesn't have that because he doesn't have it. Basically, because I see Jimmy Butler pretty much coaching this team.
If he was fired at the end of the season, I mean, like, again, assuming this series, mm-hmm, like we only win one of these two games, mm-hmm, or we just win tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. If he's fired, I'm not going to raise a ruckus.
Okay, good. That's all.
But I don't think he's the problem, right?
I
now.
Am. I mean, I'm going to raise a ruckus for the simple fact.
There we go.
It's only
there.
It's,
we go.
Technically, it's only 2 years. I mean, a lot of those guys, a lot of that stuff is on the onus of the players themselves to take time out to do the certain things. Like what Jimmy Butler's doing, he's displaying that he is a leader for this team. There's something that Embiid possibly should have been doing a long time ago. You got to realize, Philadelphia is in love with the superstar for whatever fucking reason. It's the worst idea ever. Instead of putting together a good team, let him coach. Now, if they'd have got destroyed like they did the other night, quite embarrassing, then I'd be on board to say, okay, it's time for a change. Hey. Tyronn Lue still available.
Hey,
but
peep this though. I think mainly because he was here during all the losing times, nobody really has respect for him. And I was like, you've built a losing culture. Anytime Eric Bledsoe says, anytime Eric Bledsoe says that he didn't think our team could beat Kentucky in a 7-game series. Kentucky, University of Kentucky. But that we were the laughing stock, dude. But you still have the same coach in power. Nobody's going. I don't respect him. I feel like this. If I came here, eventually I'll feel like that they're going to fire him and get somebody in here who's actually going to get it done. GID, get it done, baby.
I hear what you're saying, and I think people are a little bit more. I don't think it's as simple as that.
Right.
But it's more.
If he has a roster full of G League teams, like, now you could disrespect the coach, but that's not the coach, that's the front office.
No, right? but what I'm saying is you built a losing culture.
I don't think it's a losing culture. They won 50. This is the best 2 years we've had since 1986.
But we put a quality squad.
Well,
together.
Okay, I'm pulling in here, you know, where I don't know a lot about basketball. There's limitations with this team. All right, I think everybody started believing the hype when somebody out there said, well, the Sixers may have the best starting five of any NBA team. Well, Tobias has been kind of absent.
Yeah.
And you know, this is something that you didn't really know about him because, you know, his playoff experience, if any, has been limited. So now you're finding out. You're also finding out that, man, Simmons, I'm going to keep saying it. I didn't want him. I didn't want him. I didn't want him.
With Tobias Harris?
No, Simmons. As talented of a fucking athlete as he is, mm-hmm. he's a mental midget. Pick a fucking side, dude. Pick a fucking side. Work on it.
Yep.
You know, you're playing with a guy like Jimmy Butler right now, and obviously I'm a little biased.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
But here's a guy, Jimmy Butler, is, you know, working at fucking McDonald's to put himself in a
college.
Go to college, you know, working his fucking ass off. Yep. Simmons hadn't done shit, you know, just gifted athletically, completely gifted athletically. And I don't believe, I believe the only reason why he is not a better shooter is because he's not fucking working on it.
He's
a gifted athlete. He's talented. You don't get to this point unless you have that. So get the fucking work, pal.
Yeah, see, but you know
that's where the problem exists. The team is limited. You're finding out right now that Ben Simmons can't even make a fucking layup.
No. Listen, you can make things up. There's no fact there. There's reports from coaches, other players, that Ben Simmons shoots in practice, that he works out in the summer.
He's reached his potential.
Perhaps it's his second year.
Well, okay.
Now, I know we don't have the patience for it right now because it's the second year. We got to win right now if we don't win right now. But the reality is, now listen, I could be proven incorrect.
No.
I could be proven incorrect, and 3 years from now, he can't shoot worth a lick.
Right.
That's totally possible. But right now, it's like, it's his second year.
Right.
Right?
But, do you think it's because he's got his fucking brother teaching him? It's like,
possible.
Like, I know. That's my brother. If my brother watched me become a pro and my shot still stinks the way it does, we got a fight on our fucking hands.
You're absolutely right.
Oh, I want to see that.
No, but his brother's teaching him how to shoot. Oh, my bad. His brother's teaching him how to shoot. Go ahead.
What I'd like to just say is, like, the reports, mm-hmm. and I'm not in the building.
Right.
The reports are that he does shoot in practice. He does. He comes out early and works out a shot before games. It's just that he doesn't shoot. He's afraid to take a shot during the game, and it shows his limitation. Now, what I would hope is, and this is generally normal progression in playoffs, is you don't just come in and win the title. There is a progression in the sport where you might hit a wall, mm-hmm. and then realize I need to work on my dribble, work on my passing, something like that.
Okay, right now the progression with this team is they've won one more fucking playoff game than they did last year.
That's right.
If they go out tonight.
Gotta start somewhere.
Or tomorrow.
Right. Tomorrow.
All right. Gotta start somewhere. And I am sorry, but with the fucking squad on the floor, that is unacceptable.
Yeah,
unacceptable.
I think it's the upper respiratory thing.
What's that? Upper respiratory?
Yeah, I mean, he had it a month ago?
Yeah, a month ago, yeah. That's what I'm telling
you
about.
Well, what the hell, man? Shoot him up with something we don't even know about.
You can't even walk.
It's
really nothing you can do about it. It's like, it's nothing you can do about an upper respiratory infection. You just got to gut it out, dude. When I would walk from here to your refrigerator or to your restroom, I would be out of breath, and it'd be like I was.
You're out of breath when you walk to my refrigerator.
No, because your refrigerator's so fucking far away.
I think when the trades were made this year and the expectations were raised, rightly so. Mm-hmm. Right, I'm not saying, but going into this series, they were underdogs.
Mm-hmm.
But Toronto was better.
Right,
100%.
Toronto has better players overall. 100%. Toronto has played together for 3 years.
Yeah.
And between Lowry and Kawhi, they missed almost 30 games.
Mm-hmm. Kawhi missed more games this year than Joel Embiid.
17, I think.
Yeah, they sat him every back-to-back. Now, here in December, we'd say, that is ridiculous. He can't play back-to-backs. He's just – so I think what happens is we look at just yesterday, and we don't look at like kind of the whole big picture where – yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe playing 10 games together before the playoffs start, maybe that is something. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that they're going to lose every game.
Right.
It just means, okay, they were supposed to beat Brooklyn, and some people had them in 5. Some people actually had them in 6.
Mm-hmm.
And in this series, they said, if the Sixers win, you know, it's going to go at least 6, maybe 7. And we thought up bring up 3-1, we were like, we're gonna win all, and then they tied it up,
right.
And that was disappointing. And then last night was atrocious. Oh, so I don't think it's as bad as it looked last night. I think they can win tomorrow, and then they're in a game 7, and it's a one. They got to win,
and they have one in Toronto.
Toronto, yeah.
So they show that they can. Right. And we're analyzing right now.
Right.
You know, it's nothing. Nothing's right. Nothing's wrong, and we're gonna find out what their medal is. Yeah. Tomorrow.
We're going to find out
how let's pose this, unfortunately, and then we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to let Jasmine do a wardrobe change. We're going to get a couple drinks in the green room. And when we come back, I'll be making a huge Green Legion Buffalo announcement about our upcoming trip in late October. Everybody in the radio business, that's called a tease. I learned that from Rob Velavis. Rob Velis.
Rob Velis?
Rob
Velli?
Rob Velli.
Broadcast journalist.
Yeah, the only broadcast journalist we know.
It's a good one, too. This Buffalo deal is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty fucking tight, yeah. Right? Yeah, we did really, really well. You don't even know about it yet.
I know.
You're going to find out. But here's the one thing that I have to pose, and... This is where, you know, everything could change. What if they get spanked tomorrow?
Oh God.
All right. Then do you put Brett Brown up on that block? Because they have to win tomorrow. All right. They should win tomorrow. But they have to win tomorrow. Because if they don't, then you have not taken a step forward. You have regressed. I don't know if you agree with me or not. Yes, agree.
I don't, but it's just a completely different team. Completely different. And it's like, you know, am I going to give up on the team?
Give up on the team.
Well, no. Listen, if they lose tomorrow and get spanked, I think, yes, Brett Brown would be fired.
Yeah, because exactly.
He just lost by 34, right. And then if they lose by 28 at home,
yeah.
All right, like, yeah, you know, the team gave up, you know, I think there's something to it with continuity, and I'm going to keep saying that. I want continuity with the players, continuity with coaching, and continuity front office for more than 1 year. That's all I want.
Pops?
Well, I mean, I think they're going to win. I think they're going to pull it out, and then probably
– I like pulling out.
Yeah.
Does the planet, Quimby. Thank you.
Not most. I mean, not all. I'm a gusher.
You don't have one of condoms.
On that note, I think we better go to break real quick. We'll be back after a couple songs, everybody. All right, I think we're coming back right now. I wasn't going to do it for another song, but hey, fuck it. We're back right now as I slowly bring everybody else's volumes back up.
All right.
Everybody, first of all, Chris Sack. Chris Sack, our official Phillies correspondent of the Green Legion Radio. Do me a favor, give me about 3 minutes and then call in. 3 minutes from right now, brother, we want to hear from you. As we start and open up this segment again, make sure you take care of our sponsors, Miller Lite and Stateside Vodka. They are our two major sponsors and the ones that make everything happen for us. We could not do what we do without them. Big Green Legion announcement. We've been dicking around with releasing Buffalo because I just wanted to make sure I had it the way I wanted it to have. You know, there's not a huge demand for that trip like there is for Miami. It's an easy trip, 6.5-hour bus ride. It's like going to Canton,
right,
or Pittsburgh. So
1,000 people go there. Let's get 1,000 people to Buffalo.
I don't foresee that, but I do see a nice group. I'm betting on between 300 and 400. And official announcement right now, Green Legion, for our pep rally. Our pep rally party, our coveted Green Legion pep rally party, which is the night before every game, we have solidified and inked a deal that will give you, if you are a traveling member of the Green Legion to Buffalo, you will receive 2 hours of all-you-can-drink domestic drafts and vodka drinks, vodka well drinks, along with all you can eat buffalo wings at the world famous Anchor Bar in Buffalo.
Sweet. Why is it world famous, Quimby?
Well, think about the name. Buffalo Wing. If you didn't put two and two together, Buffalo does not come from a bad sports bar, everybody. The Anchor Bar is the originating point of everything that you have ever eaten when it comes to a buffalo wing. Every derivative, every original. We are ecstatic.
It's great.
They have given us the entire restaurant and bar.
Sweet.
I've been there. It's a very cool sports bar.
It is an excellent sports bar. Actually, for transient traffic, they have a small 12-table room. 12-table. Ooh.
Abracadabra.
Hello.
She's back.
And just when I thought I could keep a fucking thought, Jasmine is back. Sweetheart, you are simply beautiful, hon. You really are.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Whatever it is, it's perfect. Yeah, the Anchor Bar I've been to as well was years ago. Keep in mind this, and this is a funny thing that most people do not know. At the Anchor Bar, the way they serve their buffalo wings is not broken up. Drumstick and...
like Moriarty's?
It's a big fucking wing, dude.
It's the whole wing.
It's the whole fucking wing, and they're not small.
Yeah.
It's like drums and it's glass. Like Mama Thomas home cooking, baby.
Yeah.
She, yeah. Fucking Pops is agreeing, yeah. But he has nothing to agree with when he came to Mama's cooking. He was looking right at Jasmine's butt when he said that. Dude, that was perfect. I wish I had a cat. I do have a camera on you. Everybody, 8:42 p.m. Remember that time, because I am going to clip that video, and we will watch that every show from here on out. So anyway, anybody, we are going to release our Buffalo packages tomorrow. We do have packages with flights. If that's your bag, you don't want to fly up. Keep in mind, these are regional jets. There's not a lot of them. We have 50 spots. They're $380 a person round trip, and honestly, if you've ever flown out to Toronto, Buffalo, or Pittsburgh, or Cleveland, you know that is a very inexpensive fare. As well, these are for Friday to Monday packages. We are going to also offer Friday to Monday bus packages and Saturday to Monday bus packages. So you roll out, roll back. It doesn't have to be that expensive of a weekend for you. Honestly, we can get you out there, four people to a room, gang of you just want to load up for two nights. I can get you out there. Everybody, it's my cordless. Pick up helicopters every now and then.
Oh, okay.
I can get you out there for less than $600 per person, game ticket included. And again, if you travel with us, you get that excellent start to your pep rally party, which is 2 hours of basically open bar if you can handle vodka and beer and all of the Anchor Bar buffalo wings that you can stomach. Mm. And that is a really fucking cool...
Yeah, shutting it down just for their traveling Eagles fans. I mean, that's amazing.
It's
world famous sports bar.
It's. But as we've talked about Diaz and Hollis, you're finding out, and Rex, you're finding out as well. This is what we do at the Green Legion, and we are no longer going to talk about our competition because honestly, they're not worth the breath.
Whoa.
We will just continue to be better, and we are.
We're always trying to find new things to do, and, you know, we can go back and look
at... We're trying to find the right things to do,
but, you know, things that we did in 2012...
Yeah,
not so much.
Not so much.
We got one of the first questions.
Oh, okay.
Raymond Talese.
Shady Ray.
Now, he could be anti-Quimby or anti-Diaz.
I think this was Diaz. He said, when is Diaz going to say something intelligent?
Damn, Diaz, you got haters everywhere.
And Shady Ray is in the lead for a pair of tailgate passes so far.
He doesn't need them.
And on the phone, we have our official Phillies correspondent to the Green Legion radio show, Chris Sack. How are you doing this evening?
Good evening, brother. How are you guys doing?
We are having an excellent time tonight. And if you've been watching it at all live, yeah, this it's is it getting warm in here? Is it getting a little hot in here?
I don't know. My pants just went a size down.
Well, at least they didn't go a size up, because I don't want to be anywhere near you if that takes place. Chris, brother, we have a couple things we want to discuss with you here, and we're gonna talk some Phillies with Chris right now. But we're also gonna make sure that we open this to debate and conversation. Well, first of all, I'd like to say, hey, Phillies, great to see you getting back on track offensively last night when I took the fucking under, assholes.
Never bet on your own team.
I didn't bet on the own team. I bet on the fact that there weren't going to be 9 runs scored last night. And I was also betting on the fact that Jasmine finally did a twist. Here's an interesting concept to talk about, Chris, and I want to get your take on this. I don't think Bryce got out of his slump last night. Hitting a grand slam, hey, you know, you connected on one pitch, not one, and it happened to be the biggest pitch, you know, albeit in baseball, but one pitch doesn't pull you out of a slump. But do you think this is something that's going to, and Pops can't even talk right now.
You know what he said when he swung at that pitch, right?
What?
My eyes were closed.
Chris, I want you to touch on why, even though Bryce Harper up until last night was batting 180
Ooh.
After the first week of the season, why and how it affects the rest of the lineup, and say how Rhys Hoskins has been able to play and hit as well as he's been hitting, and what you think about whether or not Bryce is going to get out of his slump now. Was this on today? Was this an afternoon game?
Yeah, this one.
We did have an afternoon game.
145.
Yeah, and he was.
Would you guys do me a favor? Fucking remind me of afternoon games so I can bet them.
You watching it now, right?
Oh, okay. I bet them now. Talk about Bryce. Talk about everything he does for the lineup without actually hitting, and tell us what you think about him coming out of his slump.
Well, I don't think he's out of the slump yet. I mean, yesterday he was 2-for-3 with a walk. He did have the biggest hit in the game that did blow it wide open at that point, especially with the way that starting pitching had taken place over the last few days out there. They had a great performance on Monday night. We had two good performances from Nola and Eichhoff pitch well today too. I don't think he's out of it yet. Obviously, I told you he went 0-for-4 today. But what he does in the lineup is so much more than his production. I saw a stat earlier today where they were comparing his stats to Jim Thome's stats in 2003 when he first started. And Bryce's numbers are better. And that season, Jim Thome ended the season with 47 home runs and 100-plus RBI. I think people need to kind of press the brake a little bit here. If Bryce was going through this slump and Rhys wasn't batting 290 with 11 home runs and 30-plus RBIs, I might be a little bit more worried. But with having Bryce ahead of him and having Real Muto behind him, it really opens up the whole entire lineup. And then, you know, I think the last 2 days, Segura struggled, and Kutch is batting around 250 right now. Charlie Manuel always used to say, once you get to June, it's hitting season. This team is going to start hitting collectively as a unit. And even now, right now, they're still in baseball. They're seventh in baseball in runs scored.
Yeah, that does help the cause.
Oh.
And Jasmine continues to help the cause over here.
My bad, look, Chris. I was listening to you.
No,
everybody else feel the same about that.
I feel the same about what Chris said, because it's like it's one of those things where ever since he's been here, I don't know if you noticed the growth of Rhys Hoskins. And then also Mikel Franco, both of those guys are doing tremendous. And I think it's mainly because of them that they're getting to see a lot more pitches, and they're actually pitching to those guys instead of trying to go around them. Because at some point, you have to build your roster to where they can't pitch around everybody.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yes. And you have to have somebody in the lineup that is going to punish you when you don't. If you remember 10 years ago, like the Phillies lineups, like, and I think I touched a little bit on this last week too, mm-hmm. you know, like, you can't have everybody going at the same time, but you do need at least 2 or 3 guys during the course of a week to carry you offensively. And then when they go cold, you have another 2 to 3 guys that carry you. That's something that this lineup is going to figure out. They're going to discover about themselves. They're still figuring each other out, how each other works. And like I said, I really wish Segura, I wish Harper would take a little bit more of a Segura approach. Mm-hmm. And then when you start putting the ball on play and you start using that left center field gap, that's when they start pitching you in again, because they can't pitch you away. And then you can start pulling the ball and you can start getting those big numbers, you know, going over the wall.
Do you think it's because he's always swinging for the trees? Have you noticed his swing is always for the trees and it's never kind of just to put the ball in play?
I'm sorry, have you ever met Ryan Howard?
Well, Ryan Howard's a big guy, though.
All right, I do have a quick question I'd like to interject, and I don't understand this. I get it. You're not in the three hole to do this, or you're not in the cleanup position to do this. But with the shift, for fuck's sake, can't somebody lay a hard bunt down the third baseline and just keep the defense honest to some degree?
No.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've touched base on this before. What would you rather have Bryce Harper do?
Chris, no. What I'd rather have the team do, all right, this is a different team,
right?
This is a different team than we've had in a very long time. And you've got, if Gabe's not fucking with the lineup the way he's been, fuck, I'll take a Bryce Harper single on a leadoff all day long, knowing Hoskins, Realmuto, and fucking Franco are up right behind him. Are you kidding me? All day long. All day long. And maybe it's situational, but lay a fucking bunt down, and then they have to keep it honest.
I think that's not what he's being paid to do.
I understand it's not what he's being paid to do.
But you're asking to change his game.
We're not asking. How many players know how to lay down a fucking bunt? Go to third base side. Boom. Done.
Listen, we're a city where Joel Embiid hits 30% of his three-pointers, and everyone yells at him not to do it because that's not what he's there to do. He's dominant. It's just not Bryce Harper. I understand the premise of I hate the shift, but the shift exists, and you got to find another way of doing it, not bunting.
Well, I understand the bunt part, but and actually, I don't know if you guys know, but Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson came to blows in the dugout because Billy Martin was trying to make Reggie Jackson bunt. But it's like, at some point, when they continue to do the shift like they do, you got to do. He's here to win games. That's what he's here to do. He's here to bring a championship to this city. And if that means you have to, every once in a while, to keep them honest, you have to lay a bunt down, or not even a bunt. How about just not swinging so damn hard and just hitting the ball that way?
I mean, if we want him to, it's just not going to happen. I don't know how to talk about it. Like, I hear what you're saying.
But it's like,
it's just not going to happen. I think this is kind of how, when looking at how this was, started off strong. He's batting what now, like 220 or something? Yeah. Right?
He's about 230, 235.
230, right. But like, except for that one big year of Bryce Harper, where he won the MVP, which was an amazing year out of his seven seasons or eight seasons, whatever. I mean, he bats like 255. He's not that far off from what we should be expecting. Yeah. We should be expecting, you know, the power. Like, he's going to hit. I would think he would hit 255 with 35 homers and 100 some RBI. And, you know, his OPS, would be higher than, like someone with those, you know, regular statistics. But, I mean, he doesn't hit for average.
I know, but it's one of those things where I would like to see him at least do it to put teams on notice not to always shift, because in a clutch situation, hopefully if you haven't practiced that, you have that in your pocket.
Yeah, I agree. That's what we want Ryan Howard to do.
Right.
That's what really we want everyone to do with the shift. I think the real answer, well, the purists would never agree to it, but you know. Keep some rule about having a certain amount of players on each side of the bag or something.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's the way it should be, because you kind of just mess up baseball like that, because baseball is about being athletic, and sometimes you want to play small ball. I was like, but you can't play small ball when you're shifting everybody over to one side of the damn mound.
And then not only that, their bullpen sucks.
Well, that's a completely another issue.
Hey, we're gonna change focus here just a hair, because we want to get through this Philly segment, get on to Eagles, take one quick break, and then finish up the show. Chris, I got to ask you this question, man. Besides Aaron Nola, are you convinced about anybody else in this starting rotation right now? I'm not.
I think Jared Eichhoff has pitched pretty well since he came back. He's pitched well. Arrieta, his last couple starts, he hasn't looked that great. But you know, prior to that, he was pitching well. He's a veteran pitcher. He's going to find his way. And I'm not saying he's going to be what he was with the Cubs. I think those days are long past. Vince Velasquez has to go. He has to be on a bus. Accept the bus out of town, like now, or to the bullpen.
50 pitches.
Hey, you know what? I'd take Velasquez in the bullpen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. That's what I was going to ask.
You know, you come in and throw 96. Yeah. You know, for 12 or 15 pitches, get the fuck out. Yeah, you know, he's not easy to hit until you get in a rhythm looking at him.
But
his mindset is he's going to do it his way, and that's what I loved about what Real Muto did the other night when he called him out in the press after the game, and he went to him first.
Yeah.
That's what I liked. He went to him first, and he expressed his displeasure. Like, listen, when I put the number one down, that's what you throw. When I put the number two down, that's what you throw. Stop shaking me off. He puts in all this prep. Nobody outworks Real Muto.
Nobody.
You go out there and you throw what I'm putting down. And he kept on shaking him off. Mm-hmm. To me, I don't know if he has the mindset. It's like Simmons taking a 3-point shot, Diaz. It's the same thing. Like, yeah. Can he do it in the bullpen? He can't do it when he starts. Yeah. And that's, to me, I think he needs to go back down to AAA and he needs to work on those things. If they're going to put him in the bullpen, because right now they're talking about putting Pezzetta in the bullpen. Kind of like a la Ryan Madsen, what they did to him, 11, 12 years ago. That's kind of what they're thinking about with Pavetta's role. But the starting pitching, this team is going to get by offensively until the trade deadline. And the big fish, the big piece that I want is Madison Bumgarner.
Boom.
Hey, Chris, hold on for just a second.
You own these guys. Dad would love a shutout.
It's got to be done.
No. He's looking for heat. Let me give him the deuce.
Here we go. Oh, no, he's shaking off the subs. Big mistake.
This son of a bitch is throwing a two-hit shutout. He's shaking me off. You believe that shit? Charlie, here comes the deuce. And when you speak of me, speak well.
Chris, I answered my question because I watched that game and he had 50 pitches, 50 plus pitches by the third inning, and you kept seeing him shake off the pitches, and I hate that.
Yeah, yeah.
He had 99 pitches two starts ago in three innings. He made it into the fourth, and then he made it into the fifth this past start, and he was at 100 pitches. I don't know. He can't be in this rotation any longer, though.
Well, hey, we're still in first place, right?
Yeah, I think
we have some sizable leads too there, Quimby. Now we're three games up on the Braves. They play tonight. We're 4.5 up on the Mets and 7 up on the Nationals. They both lost today. But this stretch coming up over the next month, Quimby, is huge. They got 23 of the next 32 against teams above 500 before they play another division game against the Braves on June 14th. However, the Phillies play their best baseball against teams over 500 this season. They're 7-2.
And this is an interesting fact, which is why we have you on the show, sir. Chris, we appreciate you calling in this week, brother. We are going to move on to some Eagles talk, take a quick break, and go to the money-making section of our show. Jasmine, we appreciate you coming in, baby. Looking beautiful as always. Rex going to take you downstairs?
Yeah.
All right. Chris, we're going to say... see you right now, brother, and please continue. We love hearing from you every time, and we continue to look forward to having you on the show.
Always love talking to you guys. Keep Diaz off that pole.
Jeez, he's later. Next. He's next. Jasmine left.
Later, Chris.
Be good, brother. We'll talk to you soon. All right, everybody. Hey, again, yeah, they're still in first place.
Right.
And they're not playing well.
Yeah, no. They,
how about that?
Yeah,
right. That's exactly. An interesting fact.
Exactly. Yeah.
Boys, let's move on to Eagles. I do not want to spend a whole lot of time because, in all fairness, there's not a whole lot to talk about coming to the Eagles. I know we all love the Eagles. That's the only place where I feel like I know something.
Correct.
Which doesn't fucking happen. But we're going to spend about 5 minutes. We're going to take one song break, and we're going to come back for 5 more minutes. Hollis, you're going to handicap a couple games.
Got you covered.
We got the Hollis Corner coming up, the Hollis Handicap Corner. Every week, Hollis is going to pick three games that he likes, which you can lay down your money. And, of course, do not forget about our longtime sponsor, who I have not talked about. They are a sponsor even when they aren't a sponsor, Sugar House Casino. They're in our backyard here in our beautiful studios in Northern Liberties. And they are also the people that are kind enough that allow us to be the jumping point for every road trip. Whenever the Green Legion needs a spot to bring people, hundreds and hundreds of cars, overnight, weekends, whatever, they've always been there for us. So we're going to take care of them. So it's been interesting. I guess when you only have five draft picks, you do have to focus on the undrafted free agent element.
Yeah.
And a lot of analysts have said that the Eagles had by far and away the best undrafted free agency period.
Most definitely.
I want to ask you one question here, but first, you're big on T.J. Edwards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you've been big on him.
Yeah.
Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, T.J. Edwards and the kid Rush. Rush is out of UAB.
Okay.
He's a big warthog. Okay. He's a guy that you're going to need in the cold months when the people are trying to cram the ball down your throat.
Gotcha. All right. I wanted to ask you about that. First of all, I do like the Zach Brown signing.
Yeah.
And I do ask, do you think this will further close the racial gap between African Americans and country music?
I think so. Thanks is one hell of a move.
The Zach Brown Zach band? Brown Come band. On, everybody. Come on.
It's one hell of a
Come on. One thing that we have not talked about, or maybe you guys did, but I didn't hear about it, and it was the Malik Jackson signing. Yeah. All right. As a defensive tackle, Hollis, going over the free agency period, I know this is back in March.
Right.
But I want to get your take as a defensive tackle. And I love the scheming that the Eagles made, you know, back then. Maybe I'm a couple months behind the eight ball here, but again, I was disappeared for a little bit. Yeah. You know, you release Timmy Jernigan by not exercising his option.
Correct.
And then you re-sign him anyway.
Yeah, but that was
what they needed to do.
Well, no, that was
by design.
But, it was by design.
I was going to say that because they tell you that.
Tell me what you think about Malik.
He's a beast, man.
It's
a quality sign. That you got to realize, I don't know if you remember when Denver won the Super Bowl. He was one of the reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He was a pocket crusher.
He was the big guy, like 2016, the big signing?
Big signing of Jacksonville. They were going in another direction. They got some young guys. And so we were able to get him because they released him. So we were able to get him, and I still feel like he's got
– He's 29 years old.
Yeah, he's got some tread on the tires. They're pairing him up with a Cox, man. And then also Jernigan, and then the young guys that they got in there. So it's you have to have a rotation of defensive linemen in order to win. I don't know if you go back. You can actually go back to the San Francisco days when they had them waves and waves of people coming in as defensive line. Because what they ask you to do up front is to chase the ball as hard as you can, because there's somebody over here that's just as good as you that's going to come out and give just the same effort. So you don't have to worry about getting tired.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we know, got to have fresh bodies in there.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, man. I still think there's plenty of tread on that tire.
Oh, yeah, especially I like the fact that they got him and Jernigan for the young kid, the undrafted free agent. So they'll actually teach him.
Yeah, good mentors for that. Boys, do we have anything else on the Eagles? If anybody has any open – it's an open forum right now.
We're 4 months away.
I know. They did load up the secondary a little bit, though.
They have. I've seen
guys,
that.
There should be some quality competition. What's the free agent guys?
With who?
What's the free agent?
Oh, they added two.
I think one out of –
one out of Minnesota.
Right.
Yeah.
And they got a couple of
– Nine-year veteran.
Yeah, and then they got a couple of undrafted free agents that work – because a lot of people don't realize sometimes the draft goes in certain directions. Your position may not get picked, and you may become a free agent. That's why when you see somebody like, how the hell did he not get drafted? It's like sometimes the draft goes a funky way, and you don't get drafted, so you come in with a chip on your shoulder. So we were able to pick up a couple of guys, undrafted free agents.
Well, it's got a feeling they're not done yet.
Yes. No, it's not done. No.
And there's a lot of people that are – there's a lot of players that are out there, especially in the linebacker position that are still – sitting out there, free agent wise,
I think we had to go guard because I don't know about Brandon.
He's been showing a lot of work out. I know that doesn't mean anything. I know that doesn't mean he's making a face at me. I know that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Go ahead, you can put that camera on the Hollis face right now.
But I mean, what are they going to put? They're going to keep the rookie a tackle, right, and just be a backup.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to try and move him inside, right?
Okay. I think they may move him inside because initially, as a young pup coming in, you kind of want to start off and then move out there. You kind of want to start in the phone booth first instead of starting out on the highway. If you be out on the highway, you'd be like, damn, there's so much space out here.
Yeah.
So much space. You put him in that phone booth where he can fight and get his hands on you right away. Good things.
All right. Hey, We are going to take one more quick break. It's going to be one song. That is it. We're going to come back with the Hollis Handicap, and I'm going to give you my picks for one fantasy golf team that you guys can use on either DraftKings or oh my God, FanDuel. I'm a fan of DraftKings, and that's the way we're going to go. I'm going to show you the formula to win every week in fantasy golf.
Okay.
When we get back, one song break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. All right, we're back for our final segment here on Green Legion Radio. Everybody, we've had a blast so far. I hope you guys are enjoying yourselves, too. 9:09 p.m. This is the final segment every week. It's going to be called the Money-Making Machine, baby. It is the Money-Making Machine part of the Green Legion Radio Show. The Hollis Handicap, and obviously we are not referring to anybody who has some sort of ailment or condition, which, we're just trying to be, again.
Look at it, soft Quimby.
Again. Fuck you and your politically correctness. Anyway.
Special Americans.
The Handicapper, the Hollis Handicapper, that's what we'll call it from here on out. Hollis, I understand you got a few games for us, maybe three?
Yeah, I got three. I'm going with the Carolina-Boston game. It's going to be played tomorrow.
Okay.
It's a hockey game. I'm picking Carolina. I'm picking Carolina in the points. They got them going in, getting five goals, for like 5.5 goals. I think Carolina's a bit of a scoring machine, so I think they're going to get more than that.
All right, so you're taking the over.
I'm taking the over on that one. All right. Then we go to the Denver-Portland game. The points in that one look a little bit low. And it's got Portland minus four. I'm going to take it's like 215 points. I'm going to take the over because both of those teams are scoring machines.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Portland because I think they're going to win it.
All right.
And then I got our game tomorrow. I'm going to take the under because I think it's going to be a bit of a defensive battle. Yeah, but I'm taking us.
What's the over under in that game?
The over under for us tomorrow.
Got to be coming down. It was 212. It was 212 yesterday.
213 and a half.
Motherfucker.
It's at 213 and a half. It's got,
and of course, I took both unders yesterday. It's fucking worked.
It's Toronto minus two, so I'm going to take us in the points.
I never take unders.
Oh, you're not?
I took both and lost.
Well, that was my other one. Us tomorrow, Toronto versus us. They got Toronto minus two plus 213 and a half.
Hollis, make sure you write that down in your notes. I want you to keep track of your history.
Okay.
Because if we get over 500, hey, then you have a possible new job as well. I'm on a cordless microphone. We're starting to pick up a little bit of static here. But final segment here. A lot of you guys know that I am a fantasy golf nut.
Nerd.
I'm good with it. There is a formula, however, like a lot of you have formulas for fantasy football, which I know nothing about.
No, he took my last pick of Teddy Bridgewater last year. Thanks for that, Quimby.
No problem.
Still split the title, though.
I did beat Diaz in fantasy football.
You did.
I did.
The only game. By the way, Hollis, you did fuck him this entire year.
Deepest apologies. I was with him. We were together.
Okay.
We were together.
Oh, I have to.
You remember we were at the thing at the stadium?
At that thing?
Oh,
I had
to be the honorary captain.
Honorary captain.
Here we go.
They honor me.
I had that thing. All right, anyway.
Don't get mad at me, Diaz, because they never honor you.
Everybody, once again, we did this for the Masters, and we pulled a team together.
Ooh.
All right, that we did for the entire show, and we'll do that again this week. And I put this team in on a $100 tournament entry fee as opposed to the $20 that we put it in for the Masters. Okay, when you are drafting for fantasy golf, the best thing that you can do is get three studs and three duds. That's the formula. Mm. All right. However, there's websites like fantasygolfinsider.com that will give you tournament history. When you look at tournament history, you want to look at the last 2 years of people that have made the cut. A lot of times with a golfer, because the game is extremely mental, all right, the golfer just might like the course and can't play well anywhere else. All right? So you look at the tournament history. We got the Byron Nelson coming up, starting tomorrow. All right. What you want to do is you want to look top to bottom. And what that means is go top and then go bottom. All right. One of my favorite players in golf right now, and I'm getting tired of this fucking thing.
Way to go.
I'm pulling this motherfucker
here right now.
Can you guys hear me on this one?
You look like an out-of-work out-of-work rock star.
All right. Fuck this thing. I think the battery's starting to go on it right away. We got a channel that's all fucked up, everybody, and I got to fix that this week. But so you know how when we talked during the Masters, I said it's not about spending all of your money. It's about spending it on the right people.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's prevalent again today. However, you're going to find something out here that's really cool. One of my favorite players, period, on the tour is Hideki Matsuyama. All right. The guy is in every tournament, every time. If he plays, he's a threat. You know, he's still coming up short on majors, but still a stud. All right. In DraftKings, he's an $11,000 player. You have $50,000 to spend, which is $8,333.33 average per player. So this guy is pulling you out of your pocket right away. Really? However, he came in 2017 in 31st place and in 2018, 16th place. And that's a trend that you always want to see. Obviously getting better as he plays the course more. I take him first. Then I go down to the bottom of the list and I see who has also, at a very low price, made the cut the last 2 years in a row. I don't give a fuck about 3 years necessarily. I'll look at tournament history. Right. And if you've never missed a cut at a tournament, I'm in love with you. All right. Yeah. But has anybody ever heard of Cody Gribble?
No.
Neither have I.
You're just picking guys because of their names.
No, he's made a
all right. I don't know Cody Gribble at all.
Sounds
but
like a NASCAR driver.
But I do. It does, right?
Or Dale Gribble's cousin.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Fox Television. Cody Gribble has was tied for 31st in 2017 and tied for 32nd in 2018. And he's only a $6,800 player right now. So I just bookended on both sides. Now I'm going to go back to the top. All right, and I'm going to come down a little bit because I can't keep affording an $11,000 player. I'm going to look in that $9,000 range. I'm going to find Brandon Grace. All right, Brandon Grace is a longtime PGA pro. Brandon never missed a cut at this tournament. Tied for 58, tied for 61st, and last year, most importantly, tied for third in this tournament. So he obviously likes the course. He's a $9,200 player. I'm taking him. I'm immediately going down to the bottom of the list again, and I'm going to find a gem by the name of Ryan Blom. All right. Last 2017, tied for 45th. 2018, tied for 6th. He is only $7,000. So now I'm starting to average myself out. You get the studs, you get the duds, but you get the right duds. All right. Then you have a very interesting player coming up. Rory fucking Sabatini, the Czechoslovakian nightmare. This dude is a party fucking animal. Right? I have actually had drinks with Rory Sabatini at the Honda Classic 2 years ago. I will also tell you that I did more with Rory Sabatini, and it has nothing to do with, you know, dressing up like Little Bo Peep. Had everything with going to the bathroom and saying, yo, dude, what's that? Yeah, okay, let's do it. Thank God they don't drug test in golf, everybody.
Oh, my God.
It just so happens that Mark, we all know our good friend Mark, right, his neighbor bangs out Rory whenever he's in town. So what are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do? Yeah. But Rory has had a hell of a season. He's made 12 out of 14 cuts. Right, the guy went through a period. I think he's actually, I think he might be sober right now, which is kind of fucking scary. He also was tied for 18th in this tournament in 2017 and tied for 13th last year. And that is what I want to see all day long for a $9,000 player, which is only $667.33 above an average player. All right, and like I said, he's playing lights out this year. So now I have Rory Sabatini, and I look down, and I'm looking for the one other dud, and I find out that Sean Stefani, after I only have $7,000 left to spend, Sean Stefani tied for 13th, tied for 26th in this tournament last 2 years in a row. It's not the right trend. However, it's a fucking steal at $7,000. So If you want the Green Legion Radio pick this week for DraftKings, and I will divulge it because we're going at it, Hideki Matsuyama, Brandon Grace, Rory Sabatini, Sean Stefani, Ryan Blome, and Cody Gribble. And how much money do we have left to spend after that? Zero. Zero. Everybody, one more time, our sponsors, Miller Lite, Stateside Vodka, Buck County Baseball Company, David Dodge Chrysler Jeep, and our good friend Mike McVay, Cavs restaurants all over Philadelphia, Delilah's, Bourbon Blue, the Bayou and Cactus, Manioc Sport and Social Club, City Fitness, all their Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fitchtown, Logan Square, Market East, and of course our new and excellent friends, Jahari Evans at SOMO, Sophie, that's South Philly. Anybody want to get anything off their chest?
Fire Brett Brown. No.
There was.
I'm good. If
Pops?
No, I only want to announce the winner for the ticket giveaway.
Yes, sir.
The tailgate?
Raymond Talese. Call him Shady Ray.
His name's Shady Ray.
Shady Ray.
Yeah, Shady.
What he makes up in unathletic abilities, he makes up in facial hair, baby.
That's right.
He's a good friend of the program. We love him. Shady Ray, thanks for tuning in, baby. Hollis, anything to get off your chest besides Brett Brown?
No, I'm good. I'm going to watch the game and hope for the best.
Yeah, I got you. Rex, anything to get off your chest?
I just hope the Sixers have a gut check tomorrow night.
They don't call him the best color analyst in the league for nothing, Monty. Diaz, anything to get off your chest?
I'm going to the game tomorrow. I'm bringing him good luck. It's all because of me. I wasn't in the city for games 3 and 4.
Sure you weren't.
They definitely missed me in game 4. They pulled it out without me in game 3, but I'll be there for game 6. And hopefully Embiid is on an IV bag right now.
So your good luck and your sports knowledge is unparalleled.
That is correct, Rex.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify.
9:20 p.m. so we can edit that fucker out. Everybody, from everybody here at Green Legion Radio, we appreciate you guys tuning in and watching. We will have another beautiful Delilah's Girl in next week along with the same panel. We're looking forward to growing this. Do not forget, subscribe to us on Google Play and iTunes. If you can't find Green Legion Radio, it's just because it hasn't uploaded yet. You can still look at Sports Blizzard. That will put every episode right into your phone. Everybody, love what we do. Love what you guys do for us. I have nothing to get off my chest. I'm not angry anymore. Trick Daddy, take us home.